Good morning. May grace be to you and peace from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ. A hearty welcome to each one of you that has come to join us this morning here in the sanctuary as we have been blessed with another new day that the Lord has given us. I want to welcome you, whether you are at home here or if you are a guest. May you feel a part of us as we worship and pray and sing together this morning. Also, a welcome to those that are watching outside of these walls or listening. A hearty welcome to you also. This morning, we find in Matthew chapter 11, in verse 28, when Jesus gives out an invitation or a call, and he says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." And I would point or pose the question out this morning: how many of you feel rested this morning? How many of you feel rested most mornings? Some of you are probably morning people, some of you are not. And I will confess that I am not a morning person. Mornings are not my thing. But we can be thankful for the rest that Jesus has given us in this past night. And he has kept us safe, and he has given us the opportunity to come here and to assemble within these walls to hear his word, to honor him, to praise him. But we want to talk, or I will expound a little further on what when Jesus speaks of this, or this invitation of giving rest. But there is more to it than just rest, or that is not really not speaking about the physical rest here. Jesus is speaking about the spiritual rest that he offers. Our bodies do get tired, but more importantly is, are we spiritually tired? And are we drawing on the power and the strength that Jesus offers to us? So before we get into our message, I would invite you to pray with me, and then we will have a couple of songs. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, we come before you this morning. We want to thank you for this brand new day that you have given to us through your grace. We have again been blessed by waking to a day that you have granted to us in order for us to use to your honor and glory. And Lord, we thank you for the opportunity to be here this morning, to gather in your house, to fellowship together, to pray together, to sing together. And we just invite your presence to be here in our midst this morning. May you protect us within these walls. May you protect our minds. And Lord, if there is those that are feeling weary from life's journey, I just pray that today's words that we find in your holy word, in your holy scriptures, will serve to strengthen, to encourage, for us to move on and to carry on as you want us to. We pray for those that could not be here, for those that are ill, or those that are going through difficult times. We pray, Lord, that your blessing and your hand of comfort would be there in their midst and in their situation. And again, we thank you for the gift of salvation that you have provided for us, Lord Jesus, through your what you did for us on the cross at Calvary, so that we can become a child of God. And today, Lord, as we look at your invitation of where you call to us to come to you, I just pray that our hearts would be open to your leading and your guiding this morning. And may all that we do here would serve to strengthen your people and to honor you. In Jesus' name we pray, amen.
Let's take our red book and turn to number 402. The morning light is breaking. 402.
Thank you. Which dues of grace come o'er us in many a gentle show. The brighter scenes before us are opening every hour. Each cry to echo glowing, abundant answer.
Turn to page 140. Have you any room for Jesus?
Savior's leading sea.
Thank you for those songs, especially that last song is so fitting for what our message is about this morning, of Jesus inviting us. Do we have room in our hearts for Jesus, and do we bid his calling? You know, I spoke at the introduction that Jesus calls to us, and he says he will give us rest. And I think we could say that we are a restless people. Our lives are often filled with so many things of this world. We make ourselves so busy. And also often our lives are filled with hurts and regrets and guilt and many other distractions. Sometimes when we try to tune it all out with another activity, be it music or sports or TV or smartphones or what have you, but none of those will cure the restlessness of our souls. None of that can make us whole spiritually. So I want to read the text of Matthew 11 from verses 25 to 30, which are the surrounding verses of what the one I just already read. So Matthew 11, and we'll read verses 25 to 30. At that time, Jesus answered and said, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father. Neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. In this passage, Jesus talks about how we can find rest for our souls through him. And it is through Jesus alone. And if your soul is restless, your spirit is restless this morning, if you're weary and you're burdened by life, then this passage is for you. You need to find rest in God through Jesus Christ. So how do we do that? In verses 25 to 26, Jesus invites us to learn of him. And he says in verse 25, I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hath revealed them unto babes. Notice that Jesus first addresses his Father as the Lord of heaven and earth. And this reminds us of how a great and awesome God we have and we serve. We have a God who is sovereign over all things, and he knows all things. There is nothing in heaven or earth that lies outside of his gracious power. He is in control of this entire universe. He has created this entire universe and all things in it, and he still is the sovereign Lord of all. When Jesus is talking in these verses of things being hidden from the wise, he is not talking about your intelligence. And when he says that God has revealed them unto babes, he is also not talking about infants or babies. Rather, this is similar to what he says in Matthew 18, verse 3. Jesus said in Matthew 18, verse 3, "Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven." Jesus here is speaking of humility and trust. God has hidden the truths of Scripture from people who think that they know it all. But he has revealed them to those who humbly trust God and his word rather than their own wisdom and strength. So again, how do we find rest for our souls? First of all, come to Jesus in order to learn from God. Come as a little child. We need to come before God, confessing our weaknesses and our lack of understanding. And the Lord of heaven and earth will reveal these things to us. Jesus invites you to come to him and to know the Father. Jesus in our text in verse 27 says, "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son." Let me reread that. "All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." God the Father, Lord of heaven and earth, has put all things under Jesus' power and authority. Jesus is God's Son, and God the Father has revealed himself through Jesus. There is no other way to know God. As Jesus also says in John, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh unto the Father but by me." Only Jesus can reveal the Father to us. And to whom does Jesus choose to reveal God? To those who are humble and trusting, as he says, as a little child, trust his or her parents or their guardians or caregivers. That is the way we are to come before God. As a child with the attitude of a child, trusting in whom they go to ask for advice, to ask for care, so are we to come before God. Rather than coming with the attitude of, "I know it all," or "I can take care of myself and I don't need any help." Go to 1 John chapter 5. First John chapter 5, verses 1 to 5. "Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God, and everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And I want to go back a little bit to verse 3 in 1 John chapter 5. It says, For we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. When we love God, then following his will is not going to be grievous or burdensome. And we want to look further into our text and the part where Jesus speaks about the yoke, where he invites us to step into his yoke together with him. And when he speaks of a yoke, generally the picture would be that we are tied down or tied together. A yoke generally is considered or equated with something that is burdensome or heavy or difficult. But Jesus says that he wants us to step into the yoke with him, and together we can work together, and then the burden is not grievous. So before we get into that, we want to go on our knees in prayer in silence, as we have custom. And whoever is physically able, I would invite you at this time, let's go on our knees and pray whatever is on our hearts. May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us.
From the Blue Book, number 66, 'Twas a glad day when Jesus found me. Number 66, for those that are able, please stand.
So we've been talking a little bit about rest, and are we rested? And there are times, perhaps more than I want to admit, that I wish that the Christian life would be easy and not so demanding, or easier at least. But let's face it, if we look around, there's a reason why there are so few that choose to follow in the steps of Jesus. Christian life is hard, can be hard. And there's also no promise anywhere that Jesus says it will always be easy. We cannot honestly read the scripture, New Testament, when Jesus talks about following him, that anywhere does he promise that it will always be easy. Or that it requires no effort. Following Jesus requires surrendering ourselves to his lordship. And yet also through the New Testament we find that the Christian life for following Jesus Christ is defined as spiritual freedom and liberty. And full of joy, and providing true contentment for the soul. So that person may say, okay, well, which one is it? And if we read today's scripture, and if we would take it literally or at face value, if we use that term, where Jesus says, or uses the words easy and light when it comes to following him. So which definition is right? The Bible teaches that the Christian life is hard, and yet it is also easy. And the way to harmonize these two is found in the illustration that Jesus uses in today's scripture, and that of the yoke. And he says in verse 9, take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest for your souls. So what is a yoke? Probably not very many of us here today have ever used one. But in the day that Jesus was talking about here, a yoke was a very essential tool for farming. And it was used to to harness the power of two animals, typically oxen, to perform a task. And that's why I said before, a yoke generally is not equated with ease or rest, but it is something that is used to draw a burden, to do work, hard work. And typically, a yoke in their time, or even not that many years ago, really, even in our part of the world, that a yoke was still used. It is a harness or a collar that was placed upon animals, typically across just forward of the withers of the animal. It would be often a wooden beam that would fit on top of the animal. And underneath there would be an oxbow that would keep that yoke on top of their withers or front of their withers. And then the two animals would be yoked together, and you'd hook either a wagon or a plow or whatever other agricultural implement so that these two animals could share the load together. But it was more than just bearing a load. It was also a tool that was used to guide these animals, that the handler used to guide the animals. So these animals were under the authority of their handler or the farmer. And if we equate that to Jesus being the farmer and us being the workers, if we just picture that in our minds. And the handler would direct the animals through that yoke. The animal was no longer had the freedom to its own will or to do whatever it wanted, but it was submitted itself to the guidance of the one who was working with them. This is the image that Christ is giving us. And there's maybe one thing that I was corrected on. We may think that a yoke is equally balanced between two, and they two animals would draw the same amount or do the same amount of work. And apparently that was not necessarily the case. You would try to match two animals as closely together as you could, but if you didn't, or if you had one that was a mature and experienced animal and you had it train a younger, weaker one, you would design a yoke that would leverage the greater power and authority of the experienced animal versus the younger one. And it was also used as a training tool. And when this was explained to me, that kind of makes sense. When Jesus says, step into the yoke with me, and I will, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. He says, Jesus wants to train us. He wants to pull the part of the load that we are not capable of. So the spiritual application that we find here of both being hard and easy. And we can define the yoke as being burdensome or hard or harsh even. So we want to begin there. And if we go to 2 Corinthians chapter 6, 2 Corinthians chapter 6, in verses 14 and 15. Paul is speaking here and using the illustration or the terminology of the yoke again, or also 2 Corinthians 6:14-15. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness, and what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial, or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? It's another analogy of not being unequally yoked with those who do not believe. We are not to enter into sharing a burden or a task with those that do not believe. The Christian life gets increasingly, or can be increasingly complex and hard if we are not wearing Christ's yoke, if we are putting on someone else's yoke. Too often we attempt to wear two yokes at the same time. We want to share our lives, not surrender our lives to Christ. If we look into our own lives and we see how often we exercise our desires and wills rather than Christ's will or desire, and it'll manifest itself and show up, control itself in many different ways, but very often it'll show up in the way we handle our finances and our time. If we try to wear the yoke of self-will instead of Christ's will, that's when it will be hard, and it will be burdensome, and it will be difficult. And we will not have the joy that Jesus is talking about, that he wants us to have. We simply cannot enjoy the Lord of all unless he is the Lord of all. What yoke we put on each day will determine how our Christian life is lived, either in the freedom and joy of Christ's will, or in the pain of chastisement as we attempt to live our will, or attempting to live life with a shared will. If we are finding the Christian life hard and joyless, maybe we need to check, whose yoke am I wearing? We might need to do ourselves a favor and surrender our own selfish yoke, which is not light and easy, and rather put on Christ's yoke, which he says is light and easy. When Jesus speaks these words or gives this invitation, it is a comforting scripture, has been a comforting scripture for many. When Jesus gives out an invitation to provide rest for those that are weary and burdened, and he puts out this invitation, and there's a little word in there that towards the beginning of verse 28, when he puts out this invitation, it says all. He doesn't put on stipulations as to who and where and when and where you've come from and where you've been and where you're at. Jesus says, come unto me, all ye. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. No one is excluded. To all who are burdened and weary in their spirit, this offer is open. to you. We all know that life can and does have hard times and struggles. And we do grow weary. And we do get discouraged. And we do stumble. But Jesus has the antidote for this. The word rest can also be translated or defined to be still or to cease from movement. So here when Jesus says he is offering rest, do we need to pause and take stock of where we're at in our life? Jesus uses the words, he says he will give. He will give rest. This is a gift. When Jesus says he will give, it is not something that we earn. It is not something that we deserve, but we only need to respond to his invitation, to his offer. Jesus has paid it all, provided salvation freely, fully, for each one. But we need to submit and we need to respond. And then the Christian life is lived increasingly with, can be lived increasingly with joy and freedom in spirit as we learn to put on and keep on the yoke of Christ and surrendered to Christ exclusively. Jesus doesn't imply here that the Christian life is carefree without difficulties, or as maybe in our language today we would define easy. Because we still have the human nature and we are still living in a corrupt world, because we live in an environment of sin where Satan is working hard and harder, it seems. And we battle the flesh and the world. But there is a difference between this hardness and the hardness that we bring upon ourselves by refusal to wear or to submit to Christ's yoke. If we look back at the scripture, if we surrender, then we are promised Christ's presence. And Jesus is gentle and humble, as he says. He says, I am meek and I am lowly in heart. If we submit ourselves to Jesus, then we can live in his gentle, humble, and restful fellowship with him. This is the part that makes the Christian life so-called easy. When Christ lives within us. If we think about the example of how martyrs could rejoice at their times of when they were persecuted and executed, it was because of Christ's presence. You know, you and I may not be burned at stake or go through any of these other things that so many of our forefathers in Christ have gone through. But the principle still applies. When we step into that yoke as Christ invites us to, then that spiritual rest will come. But if we refuse, then hard times and difficulties are bound to come. Let's choose to put on Christ's yoke and put off the yoke of self. As already mentioned in verse 29, when Jesus says, "I am meek and lowly in heart, you shall find rest for your souls." It describes who Jesus is. It describes the character of Jesus. And because Jesus is the manifestation of the Father, it also describes the Father. You know, many times we think of God as a harsh and judgmental God. And yes, God does punish, does and must punish sin. But we have a God who is not harsh, but a God who is gentle and loving and forgiving. If it were not so, he would not have sent his only Son to die for your sins and mine. In Psalm 103, verses 13 to 14, the psalmist paints an illustration of what God the Father, what the character of God the Father is. And he equates it with a father and a child. Psalm 103, 13 to 14. "Like as a father pitieth his children, so the Lord pitieth them that fear him. For he knoweth our frame, he remembereth that we are dust." God created us, it says in Genesis, from the dust of the ground. And he remembers who we are and what we are. And he has compassion on his creation. So again, on the yoke, Jesus is inviting us to become his disciple. As I mentioned earlier on, that a yoke could be used as a training tool where an older animal would, we could say, the mentor a younger one and train the younger one. So Jesus is also inviting us that we step in with him and he will make us a disciple. We are to become his disciples, to follow him, to serve him. You know, this world system is a harsh taskmaster. It's survival of the fittest. And if you don't get ahead, you will be run over and trodden down. That's how the world works. Is you fight your way to the top, and it doesn't matter who you trample on in between to get there. But Jesus is not so. He says that I am meek, I am gentle. And when we follow this gentle Savior, then we will have rest for our souls. Another aspect of the yoke that Jesus was talking here to the people that he was talking to in his day, they were burdened under the Old Testament law. We could say this: the Old Testament law was a yoke that was placed upon God's chosen people that was to guide them in their life, that was to show them right from wrong, or to keep them in line. And the law was a heavy burden. And I would venture to say that it is still a heavy burden for us today if we desire to live, but if we try to live by the law and not by grace. The law is always a heavy burden because we can't keep it. You know, the law says, do not lie. And what happens? We don't tell the truth. The law says, do not steal. And we take something that doesn't belong to us. The law says, you shall have no other gods before me. That's probably one of the most difficult in our lives, in our world, in our society today. We put all sorts of things before God in our lives. And so we feel the weight and the burden and the judgment of God's law in our lives. But you see, when Jesus says that he invites us to come unto him and to step into his yoke, it is not about following the law. Being a Christian is not about the do's and the don'ts. And yes, we are to be good. We are called to be holy. Don't get me wrong. But that's not what comes first. Being a Christian is about following a person. It is about following Jesus Christ. Taking Jesus' yoke upon you, and Jesus' yoke is easy, as he says, because he is there to help you to live life like he wants you to. Jesus is there to forgive you when you fail. He is there to pick you up when you fall or when you stumble. And he is there to strengthen you for the journey ahead. He says he will be there beside you to give you rest for your soul. In John 16, verse 33, again, Jesus' words, John 16, verse 33, he says this, these things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace in the world. Or that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation. But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. So here again, Jesus says, in the world, you will have tribulation, but he says you can have joy. You can have rest for your souls because Jesus says, I have overcome these things for you. We can only find rest for our souls when we come to God through Jesus. And the invitation is open to all who humble themselves before God and come trusting to his Son. Again, I just want to reread 28 to 30 of our text in Matthew 11. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, again, we come before you at the close of the service. And Lord, again, we want to thank you for the opportunity you've given us. And thank you for your word and for your gift of salvation. And Lord, I just pray that if there's anyone here this morning that is burdened and weary, that they would find comfort in looking to you, Lord Jesus, as you still call us today to step into the yoke with you and your offer of that you will give us rest for our souls. I pray that anyone who's having difficulty and struggling in their spirit this morning would take that to heart and look to you to provide rest for that rest that you promise. And Lord, we also pray for those that, again, that could not be here, and those that are suffering and those that are experiencing difficulties or depression. Lord, I just pray that you would be with them. You know the needs of each one, and Lord, I just pray that you would be in their situation. We also pray for our country and for the leadership on all levels, be it in our communities, be it in our province, in this country. Lord, we pray that you would give us leaders, or that our leaders would also be willing to submit to you and to be under the yoke of your authority, instead of looking at the wisdom of the world, that they would look up to you for the wisdom that you would provide. And Lord, as we go from here, would you walk with us in this week, as you have promised that you will, when only we submit ourselves. May we be a blessing to those we meet as we go out into the world. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This time we'll have another song, and then we'll have some announcements. Sorry, I was getting a little bit ahead of myself. I want to give you another opportunity to go to God in prayer. So at this time, if there's anything else that's on your hearts, would you again kneel with me in a time of silent prayer? May the Lord hear our prayers and be gracious unto us. Thank you for praying.
Just take your blue hymnal and turn to number 96. Heaven came down and glory filled my soul. Number 96.
Savior made me whole. Good morning. Thank you, Brother Jay, for the wonderful message this morning. And also thank you for song leaders and the pianists for leading us in singing. Just a couple announcements this morning. We have potluck fellowship lunch. That's right after the service. And everyone is welcome. And an announcement for church picnic. I'll just read it as it's written. Dear church family, the date for our picnic is coming up. Everyone is invited to join us on Sunday, September 8th, for a wonderful time of shared good fellowship and fun. Please sign up on the volunteer sheets in the foyer if you can help. We'll meet at the Winkler Park immediately following the 10:30 church service for a burger and hot dog lunch. Please bring a salad or a dessert to share. Bring your lawn chairs and enjoy. In the case of inclement weather, the event will be held at church. Thanks, the picnic committee. And yeah, just in the foyer there, there's a table there with a sign-up sheet. So if anybody's interested in helping out at the picnic, please sign up. Thank you, and have a blessed Sunday.
Thank you for those announcements, and I also want to thank you for coming and being a part of this service this morning. Also, thank you to Henry for reminding me when I make mistakes. We're all human beings, including me. And I also want to say thank you to the song leaders and the pianists for accompanying us this morning. Thank you for the sound technicians back there. You're always kind of the hidden heroes that make us sound good when maybe we aren't. So thank you for your service and your work that you do. Everybody has a part, and we all together form the Church of Jesus Christ. And as we've talked about this morning of being submissive to Christ, let's keep that in mind as we go forward in our life, that we are not, as an individual, all important, but all of us together, we complete the body of Christ. So I want to bless you with a benediction. Before we go, let's bow. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. The Lord shall preserve thy going out and thy coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. Amen. Thank you for coming again, and you're dismissed in peace of the Lord.